Hey, back on Downtown 437, more of our conversation with Red Sox great Dwight Evans coming up in just a little bit. But let's talk a little current Red Sox right now as we get on the telephone line and welcome in from Fenway Park our friend Sean McAdam of Mass Live. Hi, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Boy, a busy day already for you today with the Red Sox firing the opening salvo well before the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's starting to pick up around the game. We had a couple of deals last night, a couple of others this morning, including the Red Sox reacquiring James Paxton. So that probably addresses their starting pitching need. I suppose something could always fall into their lap in addition to that. But you start looking at what they have with Houck and Crawford and Bayo and Pavetta, and at a certain point, what are the odds that someone available is going to be better than any of those four? Not that any of them are necessarily Cy Young candidates, although Houck may be, but they've all pitched relatively well, and there's not a lot of starting pitching out there. So to get Paxton and to get him for essentially a lottery ticket, a 17-year-old kid from the Dominican Summer League who was just signed 6 months ago, pretty low cost to address a significant need. He gives them a left-hander, which they didn't have, and he gives them somebody who's been through this a little bit. You know, right now, Cooper Criswell is kind of the number five starter, and while he pitched extraordinarily well the other night in Denver, he hasn't been through a pennant race before. Paxton's been through several. So a good first step. Let's see what else they do.
Well, we know they'd like to get a right-handed bat. What are some of the names that you're hearing?
There's not a lot out there. Just talking to some people in the game today, they're all remarking about how everyone wants offense and everyone wants a right-handed bat, and there's not a lot out there. One of the names that they've been linked to for the last couple of weeks, if not months, has been Luis Rendifo. With the Angels, he would fill a couple of needs. Obviously, a right-handed bat is one, but his versatility in the infield, the ability to play second and third, that would help give Devers a blow every now and then at third and then be in the mix at second base. And you could also use him as maybe a platoon DH to pair up with Yoshida. So that's one name. Frankly, there's just not a lot out there in terms of right-handed bats. So my guess is it's far more likely they end up adding to the bullpen. Which isn't to say that they couldn't do both, but they're, as I said, it seems to be a real seller's market from the right-hand bat situation to the point where you wonder if someone might be willing to grossly overpay for someone like Tyler O'Neill, whose value is probably as great as it's ever been right now. But, you know, that would be taking away from an area that you're already trying to boost. So unless somebody gets really silly and gives them the proverbial offer they can't refuse, I don't see them going that way either.
Well, clearly we saw over the weekend and in the series with the Rockies that the bullpen is in need of some help. Some of that because of injury, but especially if you get into a race for a playoff spot, boy, it's tough throwing guys out there with limited major league experience.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented arms. Guys like Weissert, Slayton, who's hurt now. People like that have shown some promise this year, but you're right. You would much rather, and Justin Slayton, is the guy they're waiting to come back on, and Chris Martin, but you'd like to have somebody that's been through the wars. You know, think about a guy like Chad Green in Toronto. Pitched for the Yankees for a number of years, has postseason experience, has been in playoff races before. I think it's pretty obvious they'll move him. So that's a name to keep an eye on, but they certainly could use reinforcements in the seventh or eighth inning. Losing both Slayton and Martin together for an extended period has really hit them, and not only are you going with some inexperienced arms, you're going with guys who are starting to hit the wall a little bit in terms of workload.
Well, and I have to think, and we were talking about this the other day, that it's got to be tougher to find trading partners, because I think by my count there were about 23 teams within 5 or 6 games of a playoff spot.
Yeah, exactly. The third playoff, the third wild card has given everybody ideas that, they're not out of it. Think of a team like the Mets a couple of weeks ago. They They were well under 500. Now they've been, I don't know, 21-9 or something in their last 30. And they're within a half game or a game of the Braves in the NL East. And, you know, you look around and it's really kind of the Marlins, the Nationals, you know, maybe a team in the Central, the Rockies, the A's. We've seen Tampa already sell off some pieces. Toronto's going to do it too. There's not a Chicago, the White Sox, maybe even the Cubs. It'll be interesting to see if, because it is so much of a seller's market, if we might see more kind of pure baseball trades, like the one that took place between the Phillies and Orioles today, where you trade need for need.
Right.
And you have Austin Hayes going for Sir Anthony Dominguez. You know, one team needs bullpen help. The other team needs an outfielder. It's not the traditional model at the deadline where you're giving up prospects for a veteran rental, but it may be a way to work around some of the shortages that teams are encountering.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown with the big news of the week, the signing to a three-year extension for Alex Cora, a little over $7 million per year. Is this an indication that he and Craig Breslow have maybe figured out that they're on the same page when it comes to looking to the future of Red Sox baseball?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. There had to be a little bit of a get-to-know-you period. They had some of that and some time to do it in the offseason. A little bit more time in spring training where it's a little more relaxed atmosphere. And now we've gone through 100-plus games in the regular season. So they've had some time to figure out their relationship and see if they have the same philosophy and approach. And I think, you know, Breslow looked at the team overachieving in the first half, exceeding expectations, realized that there was a good relationship there that could get better, and didn't have any hesitation about committing to Cora for the next few years.
And does it mean anything that it's a three-year deal? Other managers have signed longer contracts. Is it possible that that's about as long as Alex Cora wants to manage?
It was probably kind of a meeting of halfway for the two sides.
Mm.
That way the Red Sox are not committed for 5 or 6 years. And Cora has the flexibility. You know, we've heard him say repeatedly over the last couple of years that he's not going to be Buck Showalter or Tony La Russa managing into his late 60s or 70s. You know, there's a burnout factor to that job. It's incredibly draining and time-consuming. He's got 2 7-year-old boys that I don't think he wants to be away from for too much longer. So it's probably a happy medium there where he can reassess where he wants to go professionally at the age of 53 or 54. And the Red Sox are not, you know, when you're paying a manager $7 million, you're not expecting to fire him at some point over that stretch. But if it gets to a point where they feel a change has to be made and things go sideways, then you're not eating, you know, $10 or $11 million because there's a year and a half left on his deal.
Well, a lot going on in Red Sox Nation, including a little series with the Yankees tonight. Sean McAdam, we appreciate you making time for us on this busy day. Now, you got to go talk with Craig Breslow, so we wish you luck in that. Thank you as always, and we'll catch you again soon.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Sean McAdam, MassLive.com, with us here on Downtown Talking Red Sox.